Father, just thank you so much this morning that we can meet in your name. We thank you for your living word. We thank you for this beautiful psalm, 176 verses of your word, so beautiful. The excellency of the word of God. And so, Lord, open our hearts as you would speak to us this morning as we look at a few of these verses. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to begin by just singing this one verse that's so familiar to everyone in this psalm, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." And so let's sing along, if you would. The words are on the top of the notes there, page one.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my prayer. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the
Thy word indeed is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, I want to just read verses 33 through 48 as we begin this morning. And may we listen to his word carefully. And then we'll go through verse by verse just very briefly. Verse 33, this is under he. So everyone, or H-E, he. This every verse in these next eight verse in this eight verse stanza begins with the Hebrew letter he. But speaking in English, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. And this verse 41 of the next 8 verses begin with the Hebrew letter Wah. Verse 41, let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. So awesome, isn't it? Every word in every verse is just so precious and so deep. Each one of these verses, pretty much a two-part situation in each verse, but we could spend unlimited time meditating on this and never get to the bottom of it. It's so profound. But verse 33, as we begin, teach me, O Lord. Now notice, we have O Lord here emphasized in this first stanza verse and in the next first stanza verse. And that is so awesome to ground ourselves on who we're praying to. In this stanza, we will have 8 or 9 prayer requests. Every verse basically has a prayer request in it. Teach me is the first one. So teach me, O Lord. Now notice, we're asking the Lord to teach us. And for the older ones like me, and maybe a few of you, as we get older, in some cases, we kind of resist being taught. We think we've learned enough, and we've learned a lot, and we've learned as much we need to know in this lifetime, so to speak. But here the psalmist is saying, teach me, O Lord, what? The way of your statutes. What is the way of his statutes? Well, it's a way of life, spiritually, physically. It is the right way. It is the righteous way. It is God's way, the way of your statutes, the way of truth. So teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, what? And I shall, or I will, but I shall keep it to the end. What end are we talking about? The word end is used 3 times in Psalm 119, used twice in this context where it's keeping something to the end or doing something to the end. What is the end? Well, I believe he's referring to the end of our being perfected, which is the end of this physical life. Because once we pass over into our eternal situation, we will no longer be in a position of learning. We will no longer be in a position, I don't believe, we may be learning, but it's not in terms of learning in this body. We will not be looking forward to death at that point and being in our glorified body. We'll already be in our glorified body. We will not be praying for unbelievers or anything in the future because it's all now. But this is what he's saying. I don't want to forget it. Now, a lot of things we are taught, we forget. We are taught them and we think we know them. But then over a little time, pretty soon we forgot them. But here he says, if you, Lord, teach me your statutes, then I will keep it to the end with his help and with the help of the Holy Spirit. Verse 34, give me understanding and I shall keep your laws. So there's the second prayer request. Give me understanding. And then the result, I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Notice 2 I shalls there in response to give me understanding. What do I do with your understanding, Lord? I will keep your law. Indeed, emphasize, I shall observe it with my whole heart. The word observe there in the Hebrew is very interesting. It means to lean toward obedience, lean toward doing it. Now, that's a big difference. As we are receiving something from the Lord, are we leaning toward doing it? Or are we just neutral, not leaning either direction? Or are we leaning against doing it? Well, Lord, I know I need to be reading your word, but I'm really not interested in any changes. I'm just going to stay the way I am. Well, you're wasting your time. You're not going to learn anything if you decide in your heart you're not going to do it. It doesn't do any good to even say, well, I agree with that if you're not going to do it. But here, I'm going to observe it with how much my whole heart, not just a little bit, not just partially, but with my whole heart. And then verse 35, make me, enable me, cause me, make me walk where? In the path of your commandments, back to what we were singing about. Your word is a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. But here we have, incline my heart to your, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. And so, walking in his path of his commandments should be a delight to us. Is it a delight to you? Do you delight to do his will? Do you delight to walk in the path of his commandments? That's the psalmist's statement here. And of course, that is the objective that we would have, isn't it? To delight in walking in the path of his commandments. Verse 36, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Just think about the covetousness in our flesh. Think about your childhood. You may not remember it, but think about the little ones you may have had or have now, or even the grandchildren you may have had or have now that are little kids. Maybe they're 6 months, maybe they're a year, maybe they're a year and a half. Do you have to teach them the word mine? Or do you have to teach them how to be selfish? No, they covet everything they see, and they usually covet what somebody else has, right? You give them the greatest toy in the world, but they don't want that. If they see somebody else's toy, they want that toy, right? So we are to incline, or to, again, lean our heart to his testimonies and not leaning our heart to covetousness, to not being satisfied, but always wanting something we see. Great verse here, paste it on your screen or whatever. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. So great prayer. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, or cause my eyes, Lord, not to look, not to cherish, not to rejoice in worthless things. Pretty much all that we see is worthless of the world. It's being promoted by the other side, and it's worthless. But as we turn our eyes away from looking at the worthless things, we want to see him. We want to see your way. Revive me in your way. So not just turn from, but turn to. Turn from looking at worthless things, turn to looking at his way. Verse 38, establish your word to your servant. Is his word established in your heart? Do you have those verses that you can rely on even if you don't have a Bible around? You've got them in your heart. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. As we continue on, we will continue on in our devotion to him, to fear him more and more in the right way, in a righteous, fearful way of knowing his awesomeness and who he is. So establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. May we be devoted to fearing him. Next prayer, 39, turn away my reproach which I dread. Do you ever have reproach in your heart for the way you're acting or doing? Turn that away which I dread, for your judgments are good. May I be focused on your judgments and not on things of the world or things of self. And then verse 40, behold, I long for your precepts. Does that fit you? Does that fit me? Do we really long for his precepts? And then result, revive me. Again, another prayer, really, in the ninth prayer, you might say in here. Revive me in what? Your righteousness. Revive me in your righteousness. Isn't that awesome, those eight verses? Beautiful. Now, moving on to the next stanza, verse 41. Now, these all begin with va or wa. It may be either way in your Bible if you have a margin notes. Verse 41, let your mercies come also to me, O Lord. What a beautiful prayer request. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord. Again, I've been again in this stanza with, O Lord, beautiful. I think there's about 8 or 9 stanzas in this book that begin to have, O Lord, in the opening stanza. And here we've had it in both of these today. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord. Your mercies. Anybody not want the mercies of the Lord? Yes, let them come to me. Your salvation according to your word. Hallelujah. Is there anything more important to you than your salvation? Being born again, being born into God's family. Salvation. The power of the gospel for anyone who believes. So your salvation according to your word. Verse 42, so shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me. Now, if I know his word, and I know doctrine, his doctrine, the doctrine of the gospel, and the Spirit working in me will give me answers for those who reproach me, for I trust in your word. So you know, of course, when somebody starts to reproach you, just be praying to the Spirit, give me words to say. And there were times when Paul would walk away from false prophets there, Lord, we have that in the book of Jeremiah. I say Paul would walk away. I'm really thinking of Jeremiah would walk away because God hadn't given him the answer. But then right after that, it says God gave him the answer and he came back and he talked to them. So here, the Holy Spirit will give us an answer. And I know you've seen this. I know you've experienced this. As you're talking to somebody and they may ask a question or they may have some error in their doctrine. And when time is for you to respond or to say something, the Spirit gives you just exactly the right thing to say. And you say, wow, where did that come from? It wasn't me. Yeah, perfect. Verse 43, take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinance. May we not forget God's word. And so here we're asking the Lord for help. This prayer, take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. I know I tend to forget. I know I tend to talk about a lot of things other than you, Lord, other than truth, but take not the word of truth. That's his word utterly out of my mouth. His word is true, but even more than that, his word is truth itself. The word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hope in your ordinances. I have trusted in your ordinances, Lord, and because of that, you will leave that word of truth in my mouth, I believe, but that's my prayer. Do not take it out of my mouth. Verse 44, so shall, here's what we promised to do. We're going to have so shall, and then about 5 I wills here. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. Wow. Now that is a commitment to obedience, but it's in the form of a prayer, in effect, in an answer to a prayer, really. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. That's always. Verse 45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Now, just think about that. Liberty and rules, do they go together? The world says, don't give me the Ten Commandments. Don't give me rules. I want my liberty. But this verse says it the other way around. If you want your liberty, we need to seek his rules. We need to seek his precepts. And isn't that true? There's perfect liberty in truth of his word. There's perfect liberty in his laws, which he has laid down because he knows we need them because he made us. And he knows what he wants the best for us. So these are all rules to live in the highest plane. So how do we walk at liberty? We walk there by keeping his rules, by keeping his laws, the ones that he's made for us. We have the freedom, basically, to do what we want to do, but we don't want to do it. In other words, you know, Pastor Chuck used to say, I had the freedom to drink all the beer I want to drink, but I don't want to drink any. He takes it away from me. Now, think about the liberty of someone who disregards God's rules and lives in accordance with their own animal desires, so to speak, or physical desires. Think of the alcoholic, think of the drug addict, think of the persons in perverse lifestyles and so forth, and they fight for their rights to be free, but they're in bondage. They're in bondage. The sin has them in its grip, and there's no liberty there. But here he says, I will, not I may, but I will walk in liberty, for I seek your precepts. And then verse 46, I will speak, another I will speak what? Of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. We think of Apostle Paul there during his prison time in Caesarea and then on into Rome, speaking of testimonies of the gospel before kings and how he would let them have it. And he was not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation for anyone who believes. So here he says that, I will speak, I will not be ashamed. That means that you and I as well, I don't know about before kings in a way, we don't have a lot of kings running around, I don't think, but we want to be speaking his testimony when we are with others, when the Spirit prompts us to speak. We do not want to be ashamed. Now, how are you ashamed? Are you ever ashamed of the gospel? Well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but sometimes I hesitate in wanting to speak out when I should speak out. It's kind of like, well, this isn't too critical a situation if I don't say anything, and I really don't want to because I'll make everybody upset, and they'll look at me and they just wish I hadn't said anything. In fact, they only want me to be around anyway because I'm always talking about the Lord or whatever, and so you be quiet. Well, if the Spirit says be quiet, be quiet. If the Spirit says speak, this is an opportunity to speak, then speak. So here he says, I will speak of your testimonies before kings, and those kings aren't going to want to hear it, but he is to testify before them anyway. Verse 47, and we are to be faithful to that testimony, that our lives would show his truth and his light and his joy and his power and his love for us and for them. I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. So two questions there. Do you delight yourself in his commandments? Are his commandments your delight? And are his commandments those which you love? Good questions, aren't they? And then verse 48, my hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. So the final verse in that stanza is saying, I lift up my hands, another I will, lift up my hands to what? To your commandments, and it says, which I love. And then another I will meditate on your statutes. Do you spend time meditating on the Word of God? This psalm is a beautiful psalm to spend time meditating on. We had 176 verses, and they by and large are all independent verses standing alone. And you can meditate on one of them for maybe hours, really, and still not plumb the total depths of what's in them. They're so unbelievable. And this whole word is like that, isn't it? But here he says, I will meditate. So we're not meditate humming to a yoga thing or whatever. We're thinking and we're meditating on God and his word and ruminating and going over it and understanding it. It's a beautiful thing. And then the last prayer here, deal bountifully with your servant. Great prayer, isn't it? Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. So deal bountifully that I may live and keep your word. Well, we're here this morning to pray and having these wonderful cleansing thoughts in our mind of the Word of God. We've got a few minutes here to just pray as the Spirit would lead us. Different ones praying, but led by the same Spirit, so we'll all be in agreement with the Spirit-led prayers. So let us spend some time now in prayer. Amen. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers and guide us in these few moments as we come to the end of this prayer hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as all of you know, tomorrow is the 4th of July, the day we celebrate now. I guess it's the 245th anniversary of our nation, a nation founded under God and led so much. The founders of our nation were led by God in being true to him and true to his word. And insisting on that, they pretty much 100% did that in, had that in common. And so let's just sing this rousing battle hymn of the Republic as we draw this prayer meeting kind of to a close. So the words are on page 4, I believe it is, in your notes.
The glory of the coming of the Lord.
Amen to that. Amen. Father, thank you for meeting us here this morning. Lord, as we close, we never know if this is the last Saturday and these early morning prayer hours we have on Saturdays or not, but this may be the last one. One will be. So, Lord, as we are in process of adjourning here today, I just pray each one of us would take just a few seconds, a few minutes, and lift up names to you that are on the top of our prayer list for salvation. We cannot discern really who's saved and who's not, but people that we know well enough to know that they always resist talking about you and their lives show no presence of you in their lives, and so they aren't where they need to be. Whether they're saved or not, we're not sure, but it doesn't look like it from our perspective, and we pray for them. So may we pray for them today. We don't want to leave this prayer meeting without those prayers. So may just each one of us spend just a little time praying for those on our prayer list for salvation now. Let's pray. Well, Father, you know exactly who you're calling. You know exactly who's resisting that call. And I just pray that there would be a melting of any resistance and there would be that receiving. We know it's the Holy Spirit that does the work. We have no way of having anybody to be saved, but we can pray for that and we can come against, in the name of Jesus, against the evil forces and the evil one's lies and the bondage that unbelievers are in. And pray that that would be broken and they would turn to you and they would be yours and they would be saved. So bless each one. I pray for your protection over all of us, particularly tomorrow with fireworks and all those kinds of things that can happen on the 4th of July. And I pray we would be thankful. We would be grateful for the country that you have allowed us to be born in, such a blessing. And we pray for our nation, Lord. And we pray for those in this nation, Lord, and in all nations and in all parts of the world, Lord, that they would be yours, they would turn to you, and they would rely on you, and they would know you, and they would know your word, and they would give you praise, and they would give you glory. May we be thankful, Lord. May we accept the cup of salvation with trembling and offer praises of thanksgiving from our hearts and from our lips. In Jesus' name, amen.